T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
The home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Live BP is sponsored by Bacon's Equipment in Williamsburg, Mass.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralta of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit a man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
All right, this is the Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Ron Bradford, along with Steve Peralt, the Section 10 Podcast and Bleacher Report. We're taking you all the way up to first pitch because we're taking over the pregame show, Steve. Taking it over. And, well, I'm sure we'll talk more about this gentleman on the pregame show, but Connor Siebold is making his Major League debut tonight.
Yes.
In case you don't know the workings of Connor Siebold, his history, he is the guy who came over with Nick Pivetta in the big Brandon Workman Heath Hembree trade. Looks like a great trade, beyond
incredible,
a great trade.
Yes.
By the way, a quick aside, congratulations to Chaim Bloom on a new addition to their family.
Oh, yeah, congratulations. I definitely knew that.
I don't think a lot of people did, but I just want to congratulate him.
Congratulations
anyway.
To Chaim.
So,
for the new addition and for this trade.
Well, speaking of additions, a great addition about just over a year ago. Actually, when we did the interview, it was almost exactly a year from when Connor Siebold came over to the Red Sox organization. He was hurt for much of this year, but then got dropped in Worcester about late July, and really has been on fire. Has been their best best Triple-A pitcher, certainly best option as a starter who is going to come up. And Steve, no matter what he does tonight, I do feel like he may be an option for other games down the road. In other words, this isn't sort of like the Cutter Crawford scenario. I think might have been one and done.
No, and I
at least for
tweet,
this year.
I saw a tweet earlier in the week about, Cutter Crawford, by the way, will be making a start in Worcester. Yeah, you bet your ass he is. He's not going to be coming up to the Red Sox after what he did last
year. Yeah, so Connor Siebold is, I would say, more highly regarded, not highly regarded, but a higher on the prospect list.
Of course
list.
He is. Of course, yeah, he is. Yeah. No, very, very excited for this start. He's been, you know, his recent starts. You look at the game logs in Worcester. He's dealing, man. He's dealing there. And obviously, there's reason to be optimistic, even though it's because Sale got COVID. So it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And he talks about Chris Sale in the interview.
If there was only a way to get to know Connor Siebold better. Oh, there is.
We got an interview with him.
The only interview. The only interview.
And he actually said that before. He said it's the only one he's done in his life.
There you go. Well, okay, here you go. Soak it on in. Here's tonight's starting pitcher, Connor Siebold. We do have our special guest online.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
All right, so here we go. Connor Siebold. Connor Siebold. The pitcher for the Worcester Red Sox, the pitcher who came over almost exactly a year ago today to the Boston Red Sox organization. Connor, Rob Bradford, Steve Peralt, how you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Doing
good.
Now, first question, I appreciate you coming on, because were you under the weather yesterday? Is that correct?
Yeah. Excuse me if I sound a little nasally. I'm still kind of trying to kick it, but we're all good. Got tested. I believe it was negative, so we're solid there. So,
well, how about that? It's like the Michael Jordan migraine game. I mean, you go out, you're sick, you go out and you throw a no hitter into the seventh inning. Man, you're stuff of legend.
It really is.
I wouldn't go that far. Come on.
Come on. First rule of thumb, Connor, as you storm on into the major leagues, you got to build yourself up. Let's go.
Fair enough. All right.
So, the simple question. First of all, congratulations on your success this month so far with the Red Sox. When you go back to, it was almost exactly a year you were traded with Nick Pivetta from the Phillies, correct?
A year ago yesterday, yeah.
Oh, you're okay. So, looking back at that year and the year that has happened, and you've been very good in August, and like I said, you have a lot of momentum. How much have you changed since they traded for you? Like, when you got traded from the Phillies, what type of pitcher are you now compared to then?
Honestly, I don't think I'm that different from when I got traded. I just think I think last year it was kind of tough. Just like the entire time I was at both alt sites, I just didn't feel like myself. I don't know if it was something mechanically or what have you, but it didn't feel right. Like, I wasn't having much success. I wasn't having my command wasn't there. I know that they weren't really like real games and everything. And that might've been, what was, hurting me there, but I don't know. I wasn't myself last year. And then once the season got started this year and spring training and everything, like, you know, it felt great. Like, felt like I was back to where I was in 2019 and before then. And then obviously the injury happened and that sucked, but you know, kind of, it happens, you know, but, no, I mean, I feel back to where I was in 19, which is a good spot for where I want to be. And I mean, like you said, I got some momentum going into the end of the season here, and I'm just hoping to keep it up.
How much do you guys talk about last year compared to this year? Obviously that was a brutal situation and kind of messed up a lot of guys' timelines. Like, as Red Sox fans, we just act like last year didn't happen. Like, do you guys discuss, you know, or at least is your approach different? Like, okay, that's a complete outlier. I'm going to look back at that at the end of my career and be like, my goodness, that was terrible, but I was able to adjust. Do you just look at this as kind of a fresh start this year?
Yeah, and I mean, I was one of the guys lucky enough to, you know, be able to come out and do the alt-side stuff. And, you know, that was cool, but like for certain guys, like, you know, it's tough. Like sitting out for a year without playing ball, that's tough. And there's no amount of live BP and just stuff like that that can keep you like up to game speed. And so, you know, it was a tough year for everybody. And I mean, the only guys who really got to stay on track were the guys who were already in the big leagues and playing. So it's there's a lot of ground for certain guys to cover. And even some of the guys, like, I feel like myself, like last year was kind of a step back, but like, you know, just getting to be back on the field in like actual games, scenarios. It's awesome, man. Like, guys are taking full advantage of it. And, you know, it's awesome to see.
Connor Siebold, star of the Worcester Red Sox, also joining Rob Bradford, myself, and Steve Peralt on the Live BP show. And Connor, you were down in Fort Myers. You were rehabbing the elbow. I would imagine a young man named Chris Sale was there as well, correct?
Yeah, I think I heard of him.
Okay. So I am
interested. He's a skinny dude, right?
He's very, yeah. But although I will say.
Really thin.
As now, not so skinny. Not as skinny. I mean, I have been looking at pictures at spring training compared to right now. Not as skinny, Connor. I don't know what you guys are doing down there.
Hey, you know what? I mean, he looked great down there, man. He looks great coming back. Like, just getting to kind of see, like, everything, like, from his early bullpens on to when he was rehabbing up here, it's really cool. Like, just getting to see that process of him coming back was awesome.
So being down there with him, and it's sort of a cliche question, but I still find it interesting. What did you learn from hanging around him down there?
You know, it's funny. I don't think we talked about baseball a ton. Like, it's funny. When you're at the field, you typically don't talk baseball a whole lot. Or I've found that, or at least I don't. But then when you're off the field, you talk about it more. It's really weird. But, you know, I don't think we really talked that much. I don't think we really talked much about baseball.
So what did you talk about?
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you learn that was non-baseball related?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, we weren't, like, talking every day. He'd have his stuff to do, and we have our other stuff. I mean, you know, lowly minor leaguers are in one clubhouse, and he's in the other. So.
He's in the fancy one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was anything, like, super significant. Maybe, like, getting to know each other a little bit. But, I mean, just, like, the little instances of getting to know him was awesome. Like, he's a great dude. He's a great guy to be around, a great teammate. So
I know what you talked to him about, Connor. You said, when you get to Worcester, this is what the type of food that I want you to buy the entire team.
Yeah.
And I also want to stay in a very nice hotel on your bill, correct?
Well, the food thing paid off, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, he actually did. He was hyping up Worcester, like the atmosphere at the games. Like he was hyping it up because he'd been up there, you know, throwing bullpens before he came down and started throwing in games. And he was saying, like, it's such a cool environment. And I mean, he's right. Like it's a really, really cool environment at that stadium. Like, I don't think in my entire time in the minors I've like been at a minor league game and thought, this is legit. Like, there's only been like a couple other stadiums that hold merit to what they have here.
Yeah, it seems pretty legit. Just, you know, watching the footage and watching occasional games that are on NESN. What's your approach, kind of not knowing when you're going to get the call up, when you're going to be in the big leagues? Like, how do you stay mentally kind of stable as you go across here, trying to continue to get to Boston and dealing with, you know, some of the pressure that comes along with that?
You know what? I don't even. You can't worry about that. Like, if you start worrying about like when you're going to get called up and start thinking about that more than like your next outing down here, then you get yourself into a bad situation. Like you got to stay present. Like I'm aware that I'm making a push, but like at the same time, like I still got to focus for next week when I pitch against Buffalo. Like if I'm thinking about being in Boston rather than pitching against Buffalo, then I'm digging myself in a hole. And so right now it's just about staying present and kind of being where my feet are.
Wait, so looking forward, because that's what we do. We look forward. If you said, listen, I'm not, as I wrote today, I was like, listen, I can see you in part of the starting rotation next year. That's not for you to say. That's for me to say, but you put yourself in that position. What is the thing that you think that you need to do? Say going in the off season, the rest of this season, whatever, to really say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to make this a legitimate conversation. Or maybe you feel that way right now. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I'm in a good spot, but I think if there's one thing that I need to be better at, and this has gone back a couple of years now, it's just staying healthy. I mean, I think, you know, being down in Fort Myers, like they put together a good idea of what had been like the problem over like this year, obviously with the injuries, and then like even the last couple of years, because 19 I sat out half the season with injuries. So just kind of figuring out what all that was from and knowing how to avoid it in the future is going to be the key going forward, I'm thinking. And so it's I think just the biggest thing for me is just staying healthy and being able to, you know, wear that workload, like being able to throw hopefully 120 plus innings, if not more, like in any regards of a season. So I'd say that's the biggest thing for me.
Last one for me, Connor. How much do you guys pay attention to what's going on in Boston? I'm sure it's human nature to follow the team closely and try to see what the trends are. Obviously, right now, it's been very up and down. It's, you know, kind of trying to figure out if they're going to make the postseason, this, that, the other thing. I know you have to focus on your starts, but how much are you actually following what's going on at the big league club?
I watch the games when I can. Usually they're on at the same time. It's not a similar time as us, so you don't get to see a lot of the games, but the ones you do, you gotta. Or I've been just tuning in, just seeing, like you said, what's going on, and I know they're having a tough stretch, and you know, you kind of hope that changes, because I mean, what if you do get called up, and what if you do make playoffs, and what if, and what if, and what if, and so like that's kind of going back to, you know, not worrying too much about that, worrying more about getting yourself there first. I enjoy watching the games, but it at times it can be a little tough. You know, sometimes you feel like you can make a difference up there and you're not getting the opportunity, but that's out of your control. So you know what? You just kind of got to just, like, be patient, watch what's going on, and hope you get that call. But, again, stay where your feet are.
Connor Seabold, Live BP, you've been very generous with your time. One last thing. I just broke the news the Red Sox are having their fantasy draft as we speak right now. When is the Worcester Red Sox fantasy draft?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, man.
Do you care much about fantasy or not really, fantasy football?
I've tried it in the past. I get like 2 weeks in and I'm just over it.
It's not for everybody.
I lose interest. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. It's you're laser focused on baseball. It's a good thing. So, Connor, man, thanks so much. You're welcome back anytime. Keep up the good work. We really appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that is Connor Seabold, tonight's starter. The historic interview, the first ever, as far as we know. That's Connor Seabold. A lot of good stuff in there.
A ton of good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we ran that because it reminded me of a lot. First of all, he's got a good personality, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's good if you start there.
And he has been a good pitcher. Now, it'll be interesting to see how it translates in case you don't know how Connor Seabold pitches. His best pitch really is a changeup, but he's got a good fastball. He's a four-pitch pitcher, and he's had success. And so it would really – I don't know if you know this, Steve, but it would really, really help the Red Sox if he's good tonight.
That honestly sounds like an answer where you just, like, don't want to answer the question. So you're like, yeah, if he's good, that would be sick. But, yeah, his last start was against the Rochester Red Wings.
Yeah.
That's their name. Yeah. Six innings, one hit, no earned.
Yeah, he's been really good this last month.
He's been very good.
And he's figured some things out, as he said in the interview. Speaking of figuring things out, the Red Sox have figured out their lineup for tonight.
Oh, this is what gets Rob Bradford more excited than
lineups
anything else.
Out. Lineups
loves the
out.
Lineup being
in
out.
In the words of the great Evan Drellick. All right, here we go. Most importantly, there's someone back in the lineup, which is going to make you optimistic about tonight. All right, Kike Hernandez at second base tonight, the best center fielder in all of baseball at second base. Kyle Schwarber playing left field. Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. Rafael Devers playing third. J.D. Martinez is back.
Woo!
The back is better. He's DHing. Alex Verdugo, center field. Hunter Renfroe, right field. Bobby Dahl back at first base. Christian Vasquez is catching. Connor Seabold pitching. Looks like a winner to me, Steve.
It looks like a winner to me as well. I have no idea who's pitching for the White Sox, but I will find out very soon. JD, honestly, the second that news broke, I was like, if JD has COVID too, which the odds are high, then that is not good news. But it was just, what, a back issue?
He's had the back thing for forever.
He runs like he has the back thing.
Yeah, super athletic.
It looks painful. And,
it looks like me getting out of my car.
That's why it's always great when he hits home runs, because he doesn't have to actually
You know what's great for a bad back?
What's that?
Getting in a laundry cart and being wheeled down a dugout.
I talked about this early in the season, and everyone got on me, and they were ahead of two.
You were ahead of two things.
I've been on a lot of – I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I am going to – I've been on a lot of stuff this year in terms of like how a series is going to go.
You called the Red Sox lineup the best of all time.
Of all time. I saw the Blue Jays thing coming. Watch out. I'm trying to think of what the next thing is. Oh, yeah. And I've said this on the Twitter machine. Don't worry about the A's and the Mariners. Come on. Okay. They're not going to actually be somebody you have to worry
about. Until the Red Sox are landing the plane back in Boston.
Yeah, but two games back to the Mariners. But yes. Don't worry about the A's and the Mariners. We'll clip that one off. It's all September 11th. Right. Don't worry about them.
What I don't worry about is you doing an awesome trending now. So that's what's going to happen. Right, Steve?
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox dropped the first of three to the White Sox, 4-3 last night. Tanner Houck went 3 2/3, giving up 4 runs. Let's talk a little Houck. I want to talk a little Houck after this break here. Game 2 of their series against the White Sox is tonight. First pitch, 7:10. Pre-game is at 6:10 with myself, Steve Peralt, and Rob Bradford, WEEI Hall of Famer. You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all 6 New England states. The AL wildcard race. After wins last night, the Mariners and the Athletics are now one game back of the Yankees for that second place spot. But don't worry, folks.
A's
and the Mariners actually stink, so you're not going to have to worry about them later in September. The Blue Jays and Yankees both lost, so the Blue Jays remain a half game back of the Yankees again for that second wild card spot. After missing practice on Thursday, both Nelson Aguilar, anytime I hear his name, I think of that dude, dropping ball like Aguilar, and Jalen Mills were limited in Friday's practice. Both are listed as questionable heading into tomorrow's week one contest against the Dolphins. I can't believe the Patriots play tomorrow. I'm so excited. So excited. Mac Jones, McCorkle Jones is making his debut for the Pats. The Revolution hosts New York City FC at Gillette Stadium tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
And I'm so tired. Yeah, all I need is good vibes.
Get my wife back here so I can dance with her. Let's go.
Lovely woman, Brad.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Steve, you take over for the last half hour. I'm going to be dancing with my wife.
That's a great
toss
right there.
Swinging on back.
I appreciate you coming back. I am going to go dance with my
there,
wife.
There you go. This is a Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt.
Who was that, by the way?
That was Wale, Steve.
Oh, Wale. Yeah. Underrated. Like Wale is underrated.
Very underrated.
He had a couple jams in like
before
13.
Before I heard that,
he
was not rated at all.
Now he's just underrated.
Now he's underrated.
Wale's got some great songs. I know you know
good,
that,
good news, Steve.
Yeah.
Good news, Steve Peralt. Section 10 podcast, Bleacher Report.
Peralt of the universe.
Orioles are winning. Orioles are beating the Blue Jays in the third inning, 5-3.
Okay, we got plenty of time.
Did you see the back and forth, the Orioles manager with Robbie Ray yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, yes.
I feel like, and this is, I love basing my opinions off of just vibes. It's a big vibes show.
Yeah.
I feel like Robbie Ray is kind of a clown. It's the grunting.
It starts with the type.
He kind of looks like a clown. And the Blue Jays have always had clowns on the team. Marcus Stroman. That new guy, too, I believe, wears number 6. big guy, the pitcher, I'm blanking on his name, is actually good.
He
has some clown tendencies, so I think it might rub off on him
Manoah.
So what happened, though?
Oh, so evidently, and Will Middlebrooks came out on Twitter, and he said...
Oh, Middlebrooks, I gotta say something about him.
So he said, like, this happened, first of all, he said, this happens more than you think.
Yeah.
But because there's only like 7,000 people in the stands, you can hear everything. And what it was Brandon Hyde, the manager of the Orioles, basically yelling at Ray, like, pitch the ball, don't worry about it. And Ray is playing it off like, like, I'm playing it cool. I'm looking over at you kind of, but not really. But it was Hyde was going pretty nuts. Like, he wasn't like out in the field or anything, but it was an element of, when you have 7,000 people in the stands, this is going to happen. And by the way, a terrible team where the manager is very frustrated.
Yeah, of course he's going to be frustrated. And then they go on to win the game, which is even makes it funnier. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of COVID baseball, right? We're not in it anymore. But it was funny looking at earlier, not funny, but like looking back at earlier highlights in the season, I was like, oh, right. It was 12% capacity, and you could hear what these guys were saying.
Oh, man.
Which is kind of cool to hear what they were saying. Like, that was an element of it. Obviously, you don't want to be in COVID land, but when you had 12%, you could hear what was going on. And the Orioles stink, so they always have 12% or less. So, of course, you could hear it. Will Middlebrooks, by the way, unfollowed me on Twitter.
What? Wait.
Unfollowed me on Twitter.
Why?
I don't know.
Not blocked.
He follows the Live BP account. He follows Section 10.
Did you say something to him?
I don't know. I think we had this little, like, I was joking, this was months ago, where I was calling him an excuse maker for E-Rod because I had used that phrase with Jared. Jared and I have gone back and forth on Twitter for 6 years. So that's obviously a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff. But then Will took it seriously, and there's a chance. But again, I never really notice when people unfollow me. I do like a cleanse where I go through people I'm following. I'm like, do I still need to follow this person? No. And I saw Will Middlebrooks had unfollowed me.
Really?
So he is a rival of mine.
Oh, really?
For the rest of my life.
I'll get you two back together. the other good news about this Orioles-Blue Jays game, Orioles winning 5-3, it may be the bottom of the third. Bottom of the third, they have two guys on the Orioles. So maybe there's more runs coming. But also, the best news of all, 7-inning games.
Oh, my goodness. The second you said that, it was like you knew I was looking at the box score because I saw game two is coming up later tonight.
7-inning game.
This is nuts. Honestly, the Orioles, like they did in 2011, they are playing spoiler. They are big-time playing spoiler. They could have swept
It kind of ruins, though, the mantra for the Red Sox for the last 3 months is at least we play the Orioles.
No, I know. But, I mean, you take that first sweep out of the equation, which is great to do. You know, it's like if you take the losses out, then the Red Sox are actually really good against the Orioles, as they should be. The Orioles are absolutely terrible. The Blue Jays, who are you? Like, who is the real Blue Jays?
Is there any question that Charlie Montoya is – his basic job depends on whether or not they make the playoffs? Like, no.
Oh, 100%.
Makes the playoffs.
But here's – when I watch a lot of these teams, and this is kind of – the eye test is very important. This show cares about eye test, vibe test, all that stuff. The eye test with the Blue Jays, they're a playoff team.
Oh, they're the most talented team in the American League, I think.
That's quasi-bold statement.
Well,
but
they're the best starting rotation, lineup.
I'm still worried about the Astros in terms of, like, the other thing. And the Rays just find a way to win. But even though they score the most runs in baseball. But if you're doing the eye test with the teams in the wild card race, the Blue Jays got the thing. They got the swagger. They got the power. They have the starters. By the way, bullpen's not that bad. Everyone says the bullpen's terrible. I think it's, like, 12th in bullpen ERA. 7th least hits allowed among bullpens in baseball. So I know a lot of that has to do with Robbie Ray, Ryu, guys going deeper in games. But, I don't know, man. Like, if you lose a series to the Orioles, here's the thing with this race, Rob, is that you want to say what these teams are. We always love working in definitives of, like, the Red Sox are this, the A's are this. These five teams, I don't know, man.
No.
I don't. We're in mid-September, and I think we got five teams that don't know who they are.
So we've been saying this for a while, that when they get off the plane from Seattle, then now they're facing the series against Baltimore, which just even if they're red hot, you still feel good about playing a Baltimore team.
Baltimore red hot
just sounds
hilarious.
The red hot, but like red hot, I mean they've won it two games in the last week. But if you can find a way, Steve, to weather this storm and get through these couple games in Chicago and then get through that series in Seattle and whatever, 500, one game over 500, whatever.
7-3 or 3-2.
Okay, yeah.
Is the goal.
Okay, three, yes. Three, let's say 3-2.
Yeah.
Okay? If you are able to do that, then you run out of guys who got COVID, right?
And I can't believe, and I, knock on wood, but like I can't believe Devers didn't or hasn't gotten
well,
it.
Well, that's the one you're sort of holding your breath
on, right?
Who are you holding your breath on? Is it this power rank holding your breath for a COVID case?
Oh, Devers is one, a distant one.
Yeah.
JD,
I would have said Chris Sale at the top of the list.
Yeah, I know. The guys that come to mind are the guys that have had it.
I'm going
to
give you one. Garrett Whitlock.
Yeah.
You cannot have Garrett Whitlock get COVID.
I'd fully agree. And Xander last night, what, 2-for-4, I believe, a couple hits?
Yeah, Kike doesn't look himself quite yet, but still, he's back.
Yeah.
But I would say, I would power rank them at Devers, Whitlock, maybe Whitlock, Devers, actually.
I can't, come on now. Whitlock ahead of Devers?
Well, because he's the only guy in the bullpen.
No, I get that, but like, Devers, you always need Devers.
You don't run isolations for third baseman.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I do want to touch on the Hunter Renfroe interview that was on Maloney and Fourier.
We'll talk a little Houck, too, just because it's been such an interesting
season.
Yeah,
so we got a couple things to touch on. We also have the pregame show we can hit on some of that stuff. So we are going to be taking you up to the first pitch. Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming. Big game against the White Sox tonight, but first, we got to take a break.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ballpoint, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine?
See, this is sort of the bridge between Steve and myself.
This reminds me of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Was this on there? I think, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
That's when life was life.
Hey, kids.
It was summer and you're just playing the Tony Hawk video game.
Oh, my God. You're telling me.
Having Papagenos.
You're telling me.
That was life.
You know what also is life? Listen to the Live BP show. And you get the chance to do it all the way up until first pitch with about an hour and 50 minutes.
You get to
hour and 50 minutes. Yeah. We have one more segment of the regular Live BP show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. It has been the week of Hunter Renfroe.
It has been.
And in so many ways. Let's start with the most unbelievable throw I think I've ever seen in my life.
So let's start with one of the worst routes I think I've ever seen in my life by
Danny Santana.
That ball's in the air. And I don't say this phrase too often, but credit to Hansel Robles, who actually looked good. Couple Ks, and that should have been a fly out to center. Danny Santana, I don't know what they see in Danny Santana, but
he's been getting on a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe I missed a couple last night, but like I don't know what they see in him because they had a situation in that game, Rays game, Eovaldi dealing, Rays finally get a run. I think it was the seventh inning. We're watching with my dad and we're saying Kyle Schwarber has to pinch hit here. He had Schwarber and Verdugo on the bench and Danny Santana was up with 2 outs and he didn't pinch hit. Cora had to play a lot of chess there, moving the guys around afterwards. If you look in the ninth inning, everybody was
Devers was at second.
Oh, it was
Dahlbeck
crazy.
Dahlbeck at third.
Great tag, by the way.
Short.
That was another thing, and I get back to the throw. That's a tough play to make. Obviously, the throw. Very hard throw. Hunter Renfroe leads Major League Baseball in outfield assists. He's been great. There are times, and I think people need to understand this. I always talk about the people in the mentions. I think they need to understand that when I get upset at Renfroe trying to gun a guy out at home that he has a literal 0% chance of getting in extra innings, that's what upsets me because then you let the guy get to second and that changes the whole dynamic of extra innings. The play he made, the two plays he made in that game,
yeah,
those are the only plays to make. The only guy on base, guy going to second, hosed him down. Guy going to third. Wendell, by the way, probably should have stayed at second, gets gunned down and a great tag by Bobby.
Well, the Hunter Renfroe roller coaster started really when he didn't back up Alex Verdugo
and
in
he
that
said he lost
game.
In the sun.
He didn't
which
move.
Makes no sense.
No, I mean the video proved he didn't move.
But and let's say hypothetically, let's say you initially lose it in the sun, you don't know. Your outfielder instinct should be to look at the other outfielders and see if they're moving. And the second you do, you should back it up.
And then
Jose Iglesias is backing up.
And then I think it was
about?
A couple nights later, he had a bizarre play where he sort of jumps in the stands, pops out, and just like is standing there singing Fire in the Mountain.
And it's just behind him.
And the ball's just like trickling behind him.
And Dave's saying like, it's a fair ball. I'm like, get the ball.
But that's what Cora was talking about when he did back up Santana. It's like, we learned from your lesson. And he's tried, right?
He did. So it's as if the Verdugo drop
birthed the throw.
It did.
By Renfrow.
It's all. It's about learning from your mistakes.
Yeah, it was all meant to
it's
be.
Life lessons.
Isn't that life?
So it was a crazy, insane throw. It was one of the best throws.
I've never seen.
There's nothing better, Steve, than a good outfield throw.
And it's right? Again. I want to give Bob some credit here. Because when you got a guy, you know, sprinting towards you, you got a ball coming in from basically the triangle is where he threw
and Bobby,
that thing.
You know what helped? Bobby's long arms.
Yeah.
He's got the longest arms in the league.
And the fact that his comfort level is at a great place right now. And it has been for the last month. It doesn't matter if I move from first to third in the ninth inning.
Well, he's a better third baseman than first.
He is. And he played that more, you know, coming up. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like saying, oh, I texted him, but I was like, great tag, Bob, great tag. He was like, I nailed that guy. Because, like, he actually, like, drilled Wendell. Because in that position, you want to make sure that first that you catch. There's a lot of stuff going on there. I feel like I care too much about this, but you got to make sure you catch the ball, that it doesn't come out, that you tag him, that the ball doesn't come out on the tag, and that you get him before he hits the bag. Devers has done a better job of it recently of lunging at the guy instead of letting them slide under and get to the bag first. The worst job I've ever seen was last night, Rob, with Gary Sanchez.
Mm.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The throw beats him by like 10 feet, and he's kind of standing there ready to tag, and he almost backs up and lets the guy slide under him.
You forget one element of that throw by Renfrow, yeah. That play that also had to come in the equation.
One-hopper?
In order for that play to actually come to a completion, you needed Hansel Robles not to actually randomly run into the glove and force the ball out.
Yeah.
One. So you mentioned Hansel Robles, like, great. You know, he struck out the first two guys out, but we can't discount that he gave up a rocket. You know, he's...
I mean, that's an out. That should be an out. I would love to see expecting batting average. I would love to see it for that one. One thing with Robles real quick on that play. Hansel Robles has a way of, he's got a lot of look at me in him. And
oh, you think?
Yeah, it starts with the entrance, but I'm just saying with that celebration, it's as if the celebration was like, I did it. Yes, and it's like, that was 100%
it was, Renfrow. And it was also like, there was about a 3-second pause before he's like, all right, now that everyone's paying attention, let me just show you. I am going to celebrate the play now.
Bob did a fist bump and like pointed out to Renfrow because he threw the ball. And Robles is like, I did it. It's like, dude, come on now. But that's what he does.
So when Hunter Renfrow has this great game, he hits the home run, he makes the two great throws. So what naturally happens on WEI? We have the star of the day on the next day, yeah. Like we did on Marloni and Fourier. So Hunter Renfrow came on the station. They talked about a lot of things, which, by the way, before we get to the clip that everyone's talking about him talking about the vaccinations, there was one great line in this. I'm sorry, Stiz. I should have told you this before, but it's too late now. And he said, we're talking about defense. He's like, listen, we're like eighth or ninth in defensive something.
That was the exact quote.
He said, we're eighth or ninth in defensive something.
Their DS percentage, yes. Their defensive something percentage is great.
So, but
also,
this,
it's funny that it's eighth or ninth. It's like, it's not even that big a deal.
It was a good interview by Maloney and Fourier, but what everyone was talking about was this exchange.
MLB asked you to stop testing?
Yeah.
Huh? And just sort of try to play on, move on, and don't worry about it?
Yeah.
Wow. And you guys, I mean, you wanted to kind of put an end to it, right, in that locker room. And it looks so far you have.
Yeah, no, we've done a pretty good job, I think, containing of what we had. Obviously, we had a big outbreak, I think mostly because Kike came on the plane and you know, obviously was on the plane without us knowing, obviously. I think that's one of the bigger things is, like, you know, he was vaccinated. And, you know, the guys that are vaccinated don't really get tested. So he came on the plane and got some other guys sick and kind of moved forward from there. But obviously, it's not Kike's fault. You know, he can't do anything about it, but.
Yeah. All right. Steve.
So
when I heard this, I immediately thought, I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
But he's saying it in such a dramatic fashion. I don't blame people for screaming and yelling about it.
No, it made sense why people got upset about it. I mean, what he was alluding to was they were not testing vaccinated players.
Right. So he was saying,
which still isn't great.
He was saying that MLB, which just between us. Don't test anymore.
Yeah.
Or don't test anymore. We don't want you to test it anymore. The immediate thing that I thought of was what Alex Cora said in early August when they were in Toronto when Will Venable got COVID. And he said that they dodged a bullet because if they had to all get tested in Canada, if they're in the United States, his words, vaccinated players didn't have to get tested. That was the first time that I knew that that was a thing, right? Yeah. So that's what, in my opinion, educated opinion, that is what Renfrow was referring to, which makes all the sense in the world. But to what you just said, that doesn't take away from the fact, and also my opinion, I think that it's stupid for MLB not to have everybody test.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And
well, they were trying to incentivize, they were trying to get guys to get vaccinations to say, hey, listen, you don't have to be vaccinated. If you get vaccinated, you don't have to be tested.
And they say it like that. They're like, oh, you don't do it. You got some good stuff.
Like, look, Joey Cahoozy over here.
If you don't do it, you don't got to do it. Hey. No, but it's the thing that hit me the most. Well, many things about many layers to what Renfro says there. First off, I don't understand why everyone wouldn't be tested. I've never understood the 85% thing lighten up or loosen up restrictions. It should be 100%. I don't get it. I don't get any of this. Like, it's all, if you're not vaccinated, and I don't even think this is, everyone tries to make it like a political thing or whatever. Everyone can have their opinion about the vaccine, and everyone clearly does. And if you're not going to be vaccinated, then obviously you're putting your team in a worse position because of how the league is set up with missing 10 days.
Yes.
That's just cut and dry. That's just is what it is. So that's its own thing. Hunter Renfro saying this like he did big time opened the door for people to interpret that as Major League Baseball saying they're not having you test anyone, which is a huge difference between not having you test vaccinated players.
Right. And did you really think that MLB is that they're stupid?
No, but sorry, here's the deal. And I had a convo with Coley on Section 10 about this, but everyone loves to like when a league does something really stupid, they love to then assume like, hey, because of that stupid thing, that means they're absolutely going to do so many more dumb things. I'm not willing to say that they are going to tell. Think about this. Imagine Major League Baseball told teams to not test anyone. Obviously, that's going to get out. All it would take is a minor league player that gets option to be like, yo, by the way, I'm on the COVID IL because they said to stop testing and yada, 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 and all this. Like, all it would take is one person to come out and say what Major League Baseball told the team. Literally, that's all it would take. They're not that stupid.
But you're right. But that's exactly what happened because it's an easy target for MLB. And Hunter Renfro, the way that Hunter Renfro said it.
He knew he had the backing of, like, the people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And also, he didn't back down when I think Julian McWilliams and I think Jen McCaffrey got him in Chicago yesterday. He didn't back down because, you know, he's mad. Like, I understand why he said it in the tone that he said it. He's mad. Like he said, a guy got on the plane that we didn't know about because he didn't have to be tested because he was vaccinated and he gave it to other people. He is mad. They're all mad. So we're all going to get tested. Screw them. Well, yeah. Right. Okay, great. But to your point, do you really think MLB is going to do this?
No. There's no way that say what you want about Major League Baseball, but Rob Manfred, the whole thing. There's absolutely zero chance that they are going to tell teams to not test anyone. And I understand a lot of people are going to go, hey, look at the incentive of evasion, like we talked about. Red Sox, Yankees, wild card game. Wow, everyone's excited. That's the incentive, is that you're going to have something like that as a guarantee for Major League Baseball. Of course they want that game. They don't want A's Mariners in the wild card game. I get it. But still, there's no way the risk is worth the reward of having all these people know that you're telling them not to test.
I think that, you know, and it's about adjusting too. And I think that now that you've had as many breakthrough cases as they had, they should readjust. They should say, listen.
This is the ultimate thing that you should adjust.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. We're going to, especially this time of year, everyone's getting tested all the time. We don't need the Red Sox to, you know, circle the wagon and say, oh, we're going to show everybody, we're going to test. Well, everybody's going to test.
Exactly. And realistically, we're going to look back on this in 5 years, maybe even less than that, maybe three. Who knows how long this is going to last. And be like, oh, God, remember when we were doing this? Remember when we were doing that? And we thought we knew all that? Like, there's still a lot of things that we don't even know in terms of how players react, in terms of, you know, who can get it, who can spread it. And that's the perfect case. Kike is the perfect case.
Well, the good news for the Red Sox is that as we sit here right now, there is no new COVID news. No new COVID cases.
No new COVID news.
Yeah, I said that correctly, correct?
You did. You did. You looked at me like you said it wrong, though.
Yeah, I had some doubts. But there's no news along those fronts, so that's good. So we have Connor Siebold on the hill. We have the lineup, which we'll repeat once again in the pregame show.
We have the Orioles up 7-3.
We have 7-3
on the Blue Jays
in the late innings.
It is the late innings. Might as well be the seventh inning.
There you go. But the good news is not only the Orioles winning, beating the Blue Jays, but also we have the pregame show.
Yes.
And Live BP is taking it over once again. Woo. Thank you to Mike Brenly for joining. Stiz, great job, my man.
Woo.
All right, here we go. Pregame show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.